When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It's time to get sexy. So watch Secular Sexuality live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTSS and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.
Oh, hello and welcome to Talkin. Today is Sunday, June 5th, and I am your host, Johnny P. Angel. And joining me today is one of my favorite co-hosts, aww, Kenneth Leonard. How are you doing, Ken?
Doing well. I'm happy to see you. Happy to be the Iceman to your Maverick.
Ooh, yes. It's happy to be seen and happy to see you always. As you know, Kenneth, and I'm going to share this with everybody. I'm just going to let this out in the open that Talk Heathen is a live call-in show. We have open lines. Get your calls in. Now, don't wait. Run, don't walk. You can call in at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callth. We're going to go immediately into a call, shall we? What say you?
We have no ado at all?
No ado. No more ado, at least. We did some ado. Here we go. We've got Ernie, he, him, coming out of the golden state of California. And Ernie says that he, him, has proof of Jesus from within the Bible. Ernie, you are on Talk Heathen with Kenneth Leonard and Johnny P. Give us the proof. We need it.
Hello. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you.
So I can't actually like take Jesus and put him in a laboratory and be like, I found him, but I could tell you many proofs that the Bible does share.
Let's start with one. Start with your best one, please.
Let me start with the easiest ones just to get them out of the way. So for one, the Bible talks about the giants. If you look up and if you know where to look, you could find like fossils of giants all around the world. You know, just if they try to hide it a little bit, kind of like desensitization. And the second one would be the constellations. There's no technology that could find the constellations now, you know, which is kind of weird, being science and all. And the third one, I would say, Jesus always said, many will come in my name. So the only way that you know if a person really is about Jesus, God, is you have to know his teachings, or else you're never going to have that discernment to actually know, like, hey, you know, is this guy really about, you know, does he know what he's talking about? So I just wanted to get those out the way. But I guess the one that I get to me a lot, okay, is the... So when God pulled out Earth, it was called the firmament, and it was a whole, like, think about, like, scientists called it Pangaea. It was like a whole piece, one together. And the reason we have continents is because of Nimrod. And if we don't know who Nimrod is, he's celebrated in religions, like every religion. You know, religion celebrates Ishtar. And if for people who don't know what Ishtar is, it's Easter, Valentine's, Christmas. And back then, Christmas was called the the winter solstice.
Johnny, do you mind if I jump in?
We got many windows open here on our desktop.
If I dive in, because I'm confused because on the call screening thing, it said that you had proofs or evidence. It said proof related to
Jesus. I'm going to tell you because we have continents because of the actions of Nimrod. You know, like we have continents now.
Just hold on.
That's
because
proof, like,
I've got four things that I wrote down. I got giants, I got constellations, I got you saying that Jesus said some things, and now the whole firmament Nimrod thing to deal with. But my question is, I don't see where the connection is between any of this stuff and any specific conclusion that we're supposed to be arriving at. So like when someone says they've got proof of something or evidence of something, maybe I'm confused, but my brain goes, they're telling me that they've got something that can be used to demonstrate that a claim or a conclusion, some proposition is true. So I guess maybe it would be helpful if we just lay your conclusion on the table and then look at how any of this stuff can be used, if any of this stuff can be used to demonstrate the truth of any of your conclusion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. And I'm just saying that the Bible has always been true. It's been true back then, and it is true now. And I was trying to explain that.
Okay, so is that the conclusion? Is the Bible is true?
Yes, and there is many proof where there's just so much things, like even just the continents, how do we get continents? You know, like, I mean, do you have an answer?
Yeah. Tectonics.
That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plate tectonics would be what
I
would
look at. Do you know about plates and like subduction and transverse fault lines and the core and the mantle and
The fault lines.
The old crust.
Fault lines isn't going to make seven continents. That's a pretty big chunk of Earth.
Let me ask you a quick question. Mm. Like if you were to give an estimate for the age of the Earth, what would that number look like?
I don't think we necessarily know, because I mean, I don't know, they say there were dinosaurs and stuff and only people started writing only after a certain time. I mean, so we really don't know. I mean, even like scientists, when they see like, oh, I see like 40 rings, that means that's how old it is. It's kind of like a guess too, you know. It's kind of like an educated guess.
40 rings? What do you mean by 40 rings?
Like, you know, when they try to tell the age of something, like they look at something and they're like, oh, that's the age. You know, it's like, it's not.
Yeah, that's what they do.
There are lots of ways that the ages of different things are calculated. And so I'm wondering if it might be useful to just get into trying to find a couple places where we can agree. So like if I say that something is true, like I mean that whatever it is that I'm saying is true is consistent with reality. Can we agree on like a definition of true?
I mean, I guess if you want to go like all out, I mean, I guess you could. I mean, I don't condone this, and I don't tell no one to do it. But I mean, I guess you could like try playing a Ouija board and seeing if you get possessed, and I mean, hopefully Jesus will set you free.
No. Hold on. I'm asking. I don't know how you're going to a Ouija board, my friend, because I'm just asking you like foundationally. Yeah. Can we agree on what we mean when we say something is true? I'm saying true means consistent with reality. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I can agree on that. I mean, but you also got to learn that we live in a world, in a time right now, where people playing make-believe is true.
I completely agree with that.
And whatever you say, it could offend somebody, you know?
I'm not concerned with offending people. The question that I'm going to ask you now, since we agree on what it means for something to be true, is how do we go about figuring out what's true and what's not true? When is it time to believe something's true?
Well, I would say by the age of 12, you would have to know what's right and what's wrong, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm not asking about right and wrong. I'm asking about true versus not true, right? So when, like, I'll just try to guide you here to where I'm hoping we can agree. I think that the time to believe something is true is when there's evidence to justify that belief, right?
Well, I don't think that you're ever going to get God and put him in a laboratory and be like, I found him, you know?
Okay.
I don't think that's ever...
Kenneth, I have a more concrete example than that. Let's say that I were to tell you, Ernie, that I have a sweet red Corvette in my garage.
Yeah.
When would be a good time for you to believe that that is a true statement? Would it be when I tell you? Or would it be when perhaps I open the garage and I show you this sweet red Corvette in my garage?
Hold on, baby. Can you repeat the question again?
Sure.
Mario, Happy Meal.
There's no Happy Meal, baby.
Yeah, it's not a good time.
Mario, Happy Meal.
Yeah. I would assert that the time to believe that Johnny P. Angel has a sweet red Corvette in his garage is when he opens up his garage and reveals to you that there isn't first that there's a garage because I actually don't have one. Second, that there is a car in the garage. Third, that it's a Corvette, that it's red, and that I can produce the title that it's my Corvette. It's not when I just tell you I have a sweet Corvette in my garage. So rather than when is the right time to believe something being a particular date or age, as you were answering, at the age of reason, it's when you've been given sufficient evidence that a claim is true.
And we don't have to put the Corvette in a laboratory.
No. In fact, please don't.
Yeah.
So can I ask, so it's like wind. So you're saying that because you cannot see wind, it's not real?
No. This is so much simpler than you're making it. So we started like from square one is true things are things that are consistent with reality.
Yeah.
Square two is the time to believe something is true is when there's evidence for it and not before, right? Can we agree on that?
You're saying so just can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I stopped you there.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So you're saying that you only believe what you see. So
no.
I just want to ask a question.
No.
So
No.
We didn't say
no, we're not talking about what we see. So we can go kind of slow here so we can make sure we're understanding each other. We're saying when there's evidence. So like a great example, someone asked me about this the other day on TikTok. They asked me if I believed that Abraham Lincoln existed. I have never seen Abraham Lincoln, okay? I have seen photographs of him. I've read books about him. I've been to the National Archives and seen things like letters that he wrote to people, but I've never seen Abraham Lincoln. But I have really good reasons to believe that Abraham Lincoln existed. There's lots of evidence there, even if I can't put Abe Lincoln in a lab.
I don't know, I could say that nobody's ever denied Jesus, like, since the beginning of time. I think that all wars have been probably about belief.
Okay, so you're going off in a... Yeah. You just went in a totally different direction. So we're taking this one step at a time. Because you said your conclusion is that the Bible is true, okay? So...
Yeah, what I can explain why.
So true... Go ahead, John.
Ernie, you say you're going to explain why, but you're talking about Nimrod's continents action. You're talking about wars throughout all of time being fought over Jesus. You're talking about all kinds of stuff. When are you going to get to the proof? Ernie, please, just get to the proof. Why is the Bible true?
Okay, look here. So the reason I believe the Bible is true, not just because I found these facts, but it's just because of Jesus in general. Like, I think, why do people, like, even believers have to lie about him, or, like, the world lies about him if they don't fear him or they got nothing to hide? You know, it's like, you know, just like you're talking, you want to talk and be honest and, you know, get to a conclusion. So I just think you don't need to lie about somebody.
Ernie, you kind of didn't say anything there.
Yeah,
give us proof. Give us the proof that the Bible is a reliable source of truth. Stop talking about.
Well, here,
that's the conclusion.
Let me try one thing with him, Johnny, because
go for
earlier
it.
When you were listing some things, you used the words Jesus said, and then you talked about some things that you think Jesus said. How do you know what Jesus said about anything?
How do I know? Because I study and I read it. I read the Bible. I don't just go to church. I don't even go to church. Okay. I don't.
Wait. So you're saying
I stay home and I read it.
Are you saying that you think that the Bible contains things that Jesus said?
Yes, it does. It talks about.
Why do you think that? Why do you think that's true?
I mean, where are you going to find Jesus? I want to know. Okay, if you don't think that Jesus is in the Bible, where are you going to find him?
No, Ernie, slow down, man. I didn't say Jesus is or is not. I'm asking you, why should anyone believe that the Bible contains things that Jesus said?
I don't know. I believe in my heart that they're true.
Well, I'm asking you why.
Not only that, but I mean, it's been a book, like a history book that's been around since the beginning of time, longer than any book that you've ever had.
Lots of people believe lots of things from lots of different books.
Did you know that the Rig Veda is way older than the Bible? That's been around a lot longer. So does that mean it's truer? You probably never heard of the Rig Veda because I only did recently.
I think it depends on the Bible, because I would say the one that we all have now is the Hebrew Masoretic, which has been changed by the Vatican and stuff.
Let's try to zero in on this one thing. This one question. Why do you believe that the Bible contains things that Jesus said?
Because he said things and they've come true. Like I was about to explain to you about Christmas and things like that. Okay? Jesus actually warns you about a Christmas tree. He says...
Wait. Hold on. Ernie, wait, slow down.
Just let me tell you.
Wait, Ernie. Hold on. Because
he's got a good question.
The question is, if a book says that somebody said some things and then those things happen in the future, what does that tell you about whether or not the person who the claims are attributed to actually said those things? Like, for example, if I had a book that said that that Thor said Christmas was going to, like the Marvel Universe, Thor said that Christmas is going to happen this year, and then Christmas happens, do you now have good reasons to think that Thor said Christmas was going to come?
I don't know. I wouldn't compare Thor to Jesus, but I mean, it's not the same thing, dude. But
why? Okay, why?
Can I just tell you what I see with
Ernie? Why? Why is Ernie? I'm going to go ahead and mute you, okay? And we're going to go ahead and ask the question. It's okay. Don't worry about it. There's a delay, and it's sometimes difficult to talk to each other when there's that delay. The question I think that's before us is: what's the difference between, let's call it, a comic book saying that the Marvel Universe Thor says that Christmas is going to happen, and then Christmas happens in the real world, and the Bible says that Christmas is going to happen, which I don't think it, I guess it does say that, and that happening in the real world. What's the connection there? What's the difference between a comic book and the Bible? You're unmuted. Go ahead.
I wouldn't compare it to the comic book to the Bible.
I think you're struggling with us asking you why you believe certain things.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you've done an excellent job on this call of talking about what you believe and making a lot of claims. But when it comes to why you believe,
I was going to back them up.
Okay.
You know, right. But like I was saying, you didn't even let me answer the first question about the continents, about all that stuff. And it has come to pass already. And it's like, and I can literally just tell you, and you could probably even see it. And I mean, even with proof, I know people still don't listen.
Well, we're getting a lot of wind up, but we're not getting a lot of follow through. So go ahead.
I would just very much like it, just because this is an easy one. The one about what Jesus said is super easy.
Yeah.
How do you know what Jesus said? I would love for you to actually answer that question and to think about
it. His word, you know,
how do you know
in the Bible what he's saying? I'm not going to go and go to the internet or go to a comic book to find Jesus if I know Jesus is in the Bible. That makes no sense.
How do you know Jesus is found in the Bible?
If you don't know that, then you ain't never going to know him. You're never going to know what questions he asked.
Ernie,
what he was about. Ernie, you're basically
Ernie, I'm gonna say something to you that you might not like. Hopefully, we can agree that people saying things that they cannot provide any evidence for is not a good thing. Okay, there's something that I bring up on this show all the time. There is an American philosopher named Harry Frankfurt who wrote a paper that was then published as a little booklet called On Bullshit, and he defines bullshit as speech that's intended to persuade without any regard for whether what is being said is true. Okay. And people make all kinds of claims that they can't back up. They're trying to persuade people of things without caring very much about whether or not what they're saying is true. And I need you to understand that if you're just going to repeat, the Bible's the word of God, the Bible's the word of God. Well, I believe it's the word of God. And I believe that's where you find Jesus, but you can't articulate any reason why you think that, then you are just bullshitting. And you should have a problem with that.
I mean, if you want to think that it's all make-believe, then that's your choice. I think we all have a choice, you know.
Why do you think it's true is the question that's still on the table.
I was trying to explain because I have spent 3 years trying to find him until I finally understood him.
Okay.
And I was just going to tell you, there's just so much proof that what he said in the Bible is real and it's already all happening. So I just think if you don't want to put the work to find him.
How do you know? You just keep repeating, Ernie. You just keep repeating that he said in the Bible. How do you know that anything that is said in the Bible that's attributed to Jesus was actually said by Jesus? How do you know?
Well, I wasn't there. Okay. Like I told you, I can't put Jesus in a laboratory and be like, hey, you know, I found this guy. That's why it's about faith. He said you should be judged by faith. You know,
is that Ernie, is that what this all boils down to, is just faith? You just believe because you have faith.
But believing isn't just believing. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I am in love with someone and I don't know the things that he hates. You're not going to go Ernie, fall in love with someone you don't know.
Ernie, are you telling us that you don't know this stuff, but you believe it on faith?
I know this stuff because I was about to tell you all, like, the giants, that's one big proof. The constellations, that's a big proof. And that's not even, there's just so many more. I could keep going. Like, the continents, the signs in the sky, the fall of man when they change time and laws, they've already done that. And even, Ernie, even religions don't even hide it. Like, in the 300s with Constantine and the Vatican, I forgot which pope it was at that time, but they said, oh, we will worship Sunday to show that it is above the Bible. Okay, and
Ernie,
and every Christian,
what you're doing
church,
is...
look at it, says,
Ernie, worship. Ernie, you're just, you know, you're monologuing. You're monologuing, Ernie.
Ernie, what you're doing, and like, if you don't take anything else away from this conversation, I hope you take this away. You have started from your conclusion that the Bible is the word of God, and then you are interpreting the things that you read in the Bible and looking at the world through that lens of the Bible being the word of God. And this is distorting how you are able to assess the evidence that we have access to. There's this thing called confirmation bias. there's this other thing called motivated reasoning. And it sounds like that may be what you're engaged in, where you've already got your conclusion, the Bible is true. And then you will hear, like, frankly, like, bullshit nonsense about constellations and giants and stuff and go, oh, great. Yeah, this fits with what I already believe. So I'm going to use that to prop up my belief. But none of this shit is actually evidence. And you need to understand that. We have really good reasons. We have really good evidence for how we got continents, and they have nothing to do with anything that's in the Bible. So,
I really want to hear about Nimrod and his continental activities. Do you want to hear about that?
I'm sure. We can maybe let him close on that.
All right.
Nimrod was a hunter in the Bible. I don't understand what he has to do with
Ernie. Yeah, I want you to Ernie, wait. You might be doing this already, Ernie. I want you to just talk about how Nimrod caused the continents. I don't want to hear about other things. Tell me about that. I'm really curious.
I wanted to explain. Okay. So from where I know, from what I read, it says God pulled out the earth. It was called the firmament. You know, I think scientists called it Pangaea. Like, it's the whole complete earth as one. And then the earth started getting, like, I guess craziest. It says the craziest time that there ever was in that time. You know, like, people doing what they wanted to do.
And, heaven forbid.
And so these people celebrate, like, even religions do it. But back then, these people celebrated Ishtar. You know, if you guys don't know what Ishtar means, it's like Easter, Valentine's, Christmas. And these are holidays where older men used to sleep with young women, okay? And then also, Christmas wasn't called Christmas back then. It was called the winter solstice. And so when Nimrod was like a big hunter, Christmas. You're right, he was a hunter.
Nimrod, there we go.
Hunter of, like, Christians or whatever. And
whatever.
And so when God got mad at him because of all the stuff that he was doing on earth, he separated the earth and changed languages. Another proof. Look, we have continents. We have different languages. Now,
you know, that didn't happen.
Sense?
No.
Okay.
Like, the more you speak, the less sense is being made.
And look, so look, let me tell you. And so then, and Jesus also says this. This is his words, not mine. Where am I going to find his words? Obviously in the Bible. I'm not going to find it out of a comic.
Right.
Book.
Well, this. Allegedly. You can't give us any reason why we would think that Jesus' words are found in the Bible. You're just going to keep saying it, even though you can't demonstrate it's true.
Yeah, I'm not.
You think you're going to
miss the
Jesus, right? I mean, you can find them wherever you think you want to, but this is where I find
Ernie, well, no. I missed your proof.
Yeah, where's the Nimrod stuff?
Where's the Nimrod? I missed it. I'm pumpkinning out on this one.
The different languages, the giants all over the world. What do you mean? What do you mean the proof? The proof's all
there. There's no giants all over the world. There's no giants all over the world. You could, dude, you could go to, like, any local community college and, like, take a course in linguistics and learn
Jesus
about
isn't college, bro.
The,
Jesus is
you can learn about okay.
Jesus
you can learn about
isn't
how do you
college,
know
college, bro?
Experience
Jesus Christ.
Will always you, win whatever your little paper says.
You are flat out wrong. And the problem here is that you don't give a shit about whether the things you're saying are true. You're just saying stuff because it resonates with you and you don't care. And that's a huge problem. Okay. What I was gonna say was you can go to any local community college, spend a couple bucks, you can take a course on linguistics and learn about how languages have developed. And it has nothing to do with the Tower of Babel, which is it's a fairy tale, my friend. Okay. You've made the mistake of reading one book and thinking you know everything about the world when there are other better books available that are backed by evidence.
Kenneth, I think I'm just plain old done with Ernie. I don't want to say that, you know, Ernie broke my brain minutes ago, but I I'd like to move on, if that's all right. I want to pumpkin out on this one. Ernie.
I'm your wingman. So
yeah, you, Ernie, call back with a little bit more on Nimrod. I don't think we're going to get it. I think I've known people, and folks watching, tell me, have you ever had these people in your life where you have a conversation with them and every conversation is all possible conversations? And that's what I was getting the feeling with Ernie. But, you know, Ernie, rope it in a little bit and then call back again. I'd like to hear more about Nimrod and the ability to make plate tectonics happen or whatever Nimrodian methods you have. But, you know, with that said, I'd just like to say below the talk even is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, a 501c3 organization dedicated to the promotion of positive atheist culture and the separation of religion and government. You can support Talk Heathen and the Atheist Community of Austin on Patreon at tiny.cc/patreonth. You can like the video below the channel. You can enable the notifications should you choose to do so. And you can comment below on your favorite caller. Tell us with dignity, please, what you thought of Ernie's argument, and maybe you could even steel man Ernie's argument.
Good luck with that.
But you might. It might happen. I don't know. You could become a channel member. Yes, you. Click the join button below the video. You'll get custom chatting emotes, and you will help perpetuate the mission of Talk and the Atheist Community of Austin. I'd like to also say, if I might, that below the live chat, you can see it down there, friend. We have a fundraiser, and 100% of the proceeds from that fundraiser go directly to the ACA. YouTube does not wet its beak one whit with those proceeds. And you know what? There's merch. People are talking. People are saying, Johnny, when's the merch coming back? Well, it's back. The merch store is back. You can visit tiny.cc/merchaca to get your favorite items like t-shirts, hoodies, and coffee mugs, and check out our brand new items like beanies, cell phone cases, and tote bags. We even now feature a special limited edition item each month. Be sure to check that out at the store and all of the stores of the other shows. We have a channel. Yes, we do. We have a channel that houses all of the shows of the ACA in audio podcast form. Visit tiny.cc/AEN podcasts and you can listen to ASMR style. And of course, you can become part of the Talk Heathen community in our fan-run Facebook page at tiny.cc/FBTHG. I think that's all the announcements for now. With that said, my friend Kenneth,
yo,
I'm going to go on to Sasha, if that's all right with you.
Hey,
go ahead.
Let's do it.
Sasha is a she/her person from the magnificent state of Oregon, and Sasha has questions regarding Reiki as a spiritual process. Says here you're trying out Reiki. Tell us a little bit about what that means to you.
Yeah, so I actually found you guys a couple of days ago through Kenneth's TikTok, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. We had to have a little open discussion there, and I really liked how he managed the conversation. And so I'm just excited to kind of explore a little deeper. Aww. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I already mentioned prior that I have a lot of religious trauma and that, and so I'm trying to heal without resentment. And I feel like I jumped into atheism from a place of resentment and have tried to then open myself up a little bit. And so some of the, what I believe are spiritual practices, which is where I think our conversation would come in, is like astrology and Reiki, which I believe are spiritual practices. And I kind of wanted to touch base on that because in atheism, I believe there is no such thing as spiritual practices. Is that correct?
Well, I think the problem comes in is how you define spiritual, because the word means a million and one things to a million different people.
Right.
And if you consider spirit, okay, how do you do it? Let's talk about it from your perspective first.
Yeah. So I view like the divine spirit as the entity of love, the spirit of love that can be encompassed and embodied in any form, animal, trees, humans. I believe that the spirit of love is what I surrender to as my God.
Okay.
So Sasha, in the practice, yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you, because you, and I'm not needling you, but I do want to get some clarification if I could. You used, in the definition of the word spiritual, you used the word spirit. And so let's try to step away from that. And I'm going to ask you, and you could say yes or no, but you said, you know, the spirit of love, was that the word, was that the phrase you used?
I believe tapping into into the spirit of love is the spiritual practice.
Okay. So the spirit of love, does that mean the concept of love, or do you mean a non-physical, perhaps energy-based entity that exists apart from matter or intertwines with matter, but is a separate instance of existence called love?
Okay, so I believe we're born with it, a part of us, and throughout cultural conditioning and religious indoctrination and false teachings in school, we've lost touch with that. So I think as human nature, we are defected in that sense. We've lost our intuition and our instinct when it comes to love. We're just born into trauma, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I believe tapping into that is unfortunately something that we're having to learn from outside of ourselves and bring into our being.
Well, Sasha, what I'm asking though is the concept of love, the spirit of love, is it, and I'm really just trying to bring it back down, not its consequences, but what is it itself? Because I believe that love exists. And I know that people say, oh, it's a series of chemicals. Sure, it's a bunch of chemicals and phenomenon in the brain, whatever. But I also believe that it's a concept that resonates through our psyche, our mental state in a physical way and in a psychological way.
Right.
But I don't believe that love exists.
In a scientific dive would be why I believe love is a result of operating through your heart chakra as your center focus, instead of operating through any other chakra point in your body. You know, you're, I believe operating through your heart is the core for what, and that's in Reiki practice. They believe in order to tap into life source energy, the creational energy, you have to tap into the heart chakra.
Okay. So we're talking about chakras. What is a chakra?
A chakra is an electromagnetic vortex. We have seven of them in our body, and they are what shift and move energy all throughout our body.
Can we define energy while we're doing definitions?
Let's define energy and then a follow up. Go ahead.
Energy would be the flow of, I guess, kind of the current of all of our atoms in our body. So I guess chakras would be the highways, basically. And you can operate, like, if you can look up so many different health conditions and they can figure out what chakra that's associated with. And usually that means there is a blockage in that area where, say, too much energy has, or, you know, atoms or whatever had tried to shift through there. And for some reason, they just got jammed. So in Eastern practices, which I believe is very spiritual, they talk about slowing your body down to allow those blocks in your body to open up so that your atoms can then start flowing in the way that they're supposed to.
Can this energy that you're describing be measured with any instruments, any scientific instruments, to your knowledge?
That's a really good question. I haven't dived down that, but I'm pretty sure I could figure out ways that it probably has throughout time. I know personally, when I work on Reiki on myself, I can literally feel balls of energy shift from one part of my body to the other. So I wouldn't imagine why they wouldn't be able to measure that in a way.
Would it surprise you to learn that, as far as my research has revealed to me, that Reiki energy, such as the kind that you're describing, has not been measured with any scientific instrument. Now, I could be wrong.
That's what I don't know the answer to. That. I can't say. Can't agree. I'm not closed-minded to that possibility.
Sure.
The studies that I've seen have shown that they've proven that Reiki practices are more effective than even a placebo effect. So there is something to that. I have studied it in some sense.
Effective for what exactly?
Yeah. For healing, anxiety, physical pain, just a lot of things. It's all encompassing. So that's where, I guess, what I believe the Eastern method is, in order to achieve wellness, is the balance of body, mind, spirit. That in order to have a healthy spirit, you would have to balance your mind and body.
This is so interesting. I don't want to derail what you're doing, Johnny, because I think it's brilliant. I've had a lot of injuries in my life. I've been in and out of hospitals. And like, I've had MRIs and CAT scans and all kinds of stuff to figure out what was wrong with my body. Never once has a doctor talked to me about my chakras or my spirit. I've never gotten out of an MRI.
Western medicine. That's not Eastern medicine. I mean, chakras have been around for 3,000 years. And the fact that we don't know about that is absurd.
What I'm thinking about is the fact that in what you're referring to as Western medicine, evidence-based practice is everything. So if there was some way, there was some way, like, for example, like, I'm thinking about things in the context of the American profit-based health system. If there was some way for hospitals or pharmaceutical companies to be making money off of people's chakras, it's hard for me to believe they wouldn't be doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same as cannabis though, right? They kept people from being able to grow their own medicine because they couldn't profit off of it.
Well, but like, I'm wondering if your
medicine is corrupt. We don't even have to touch that because I feel like we wouldn't be in a global mental health and drug crisis if it wasn't for Western medicine.
But Sasha, I guess what Kenneth is saying is that this is sort of evidence from greed, right? If there was anything to this, what is the motivation of Western medicine practitioners or Western medicine insurance companies or Western medicine people who profit off of the illness of others? Why wouldn't they be hiring all these Reiki masters to...
There'd be a Reiki section in every hospital. Yeah.
That's because they're complete. It's like putting a Christian and an atheist in a building together and saying, why don't you guys work together? I don't understand.
How about this? Let's
branches of healing.
Let me ask you this. As far as the evidence that you've seen, I think you said you saw studies or you've seen research. Can you identify some of the sources for the research showing that Reiki practice can help people in a very specific demonstrative way? What are the names of the journals?
That's a good question. This is just my brief exploring that I've done while waiting on hold for you guys, because I've been I should look into this scientifically. This is actually why I wanted to discuss this with you guys, so then I can figure out where to look in, you know, to figure this out. Because from my personal experience, right, because I grew up in indoctrination, grew up being told this is what you believe. This is why it's really hard for me to sometimes hear these people on your calls, because I hear them like begging to convince you of their beliefs and they're tormented that you don't. And I used to be that person. And so now I'm sitting here trying to find, which I said before, the balance of science and spirituality. I don't believe that they have to have a war. I believe creation and evolution go hand in hand. I don't believe creation in the same aspect as Christians, but I believe I was created and I've evolved. So I just don't feel like there has to be such a war between everything.
It sounds like you may be running up against a similar roadblock when it comes to forming true conclusions as our previous caller. So like on TikTok, you heard me all, you know, in lives and stuff, talking a lot about like scientific skepticism and this idea of proportioning your belief to the available evidence for any given claim. And this is why I'm still hammering in on people, like every chance I get, the time to accept a claim is when you have evidence and not a moment before. And it sounds like you may be approaching some of these questions about things like spirit and energy and creation having, and I'm not saying this is like an intentional thing, but having smuggled in a set of ideas. So I would strongly encourage you to look at methods of...
I would say I hear smuggled, but I feel like I'm trying to find an accurate translation.
Everything
we've been taught is translation, so I have to find the right one.
Well, the question is one of methodology, right? When you were talking about the distinction between Eastern and Western medicine, there was a thing that popped up in my mind from a thing I heard from Tim Minchin. He's got this beat poem called Storm that you made me think about. But there's a part where he talks about how we have a word for alternative medicine that's been proven to work, and that word is medicine, right?
Yeah.
And everything boils down to the amount of evidence that's available. So when we talk about things like spirit and energy, even things like love, we know a lot of stuff is happening at the level of our brain. We don't have a lot of evidence that some of these things are happening somewhere external to our brain. Like love is something that, as far as I can tell, is a byproduct of things that are happening in human brains. With things like spirits, well, I know that there's something like, you know, we would refer to as consciousness, something like the subjective experience of me being me, right? That's my consciousness. Now, I've got lots of good reasons to think that that's happening at the level of my brain. I can look at how changes to my brain and my brain chemistry alter and affect my conscious experience. I don't have reasons to think that my consciousness is something external or something that is happening other than in my brain and in my body. When we talk about things like energy, right? So like my understanding of Reiki is very limited, and things like chakras, but this idea of manipulating and moving energy through touch, from where my brain is at, energy is just the capacity to do work, right? And I see lots of examples out there.
Reiki is literally slowing down to feel the energy, right? Like instead of just saying the words, oh, I know there's energy there,
yeah,
you can feel it.
Well, but people feel lots of things, right? Yeah. So my question, a question I ask people all the time when they talk about feeling the Holy Spirit is, how do you tell the difference between feeling the Holy Spirit and feeling the effects of something that's happening just purely at the level of your brain?
When I'm,
you know?
It's like when I'm doing Reiki in the mirror, right? When I'm actually shifting and when my hands are on my head and I feel energy blocks and I'm using my breath work and my mind to direct the energy from one block to another. There's mm-hmm. been times where I've actually seen like my nose move over as I feel the energy block trying to move from that location. And then my nose go back to the position it was.
See, and my attitude when I hear someone say something like that is that I believe that you're telling me about an experience that you had. I know that our brains are powerful things. And I know that our capacity as for sort of leading ourselves into experiences where our experiences are not consistent with reality is well documented as human beings. So like when you say you feel an energy block, my brain is immediately going, well, how do you know that what you feel is an energy block? Like where's the attribution
feels,
happening?
For me, what I can explain it to you is it feels like I can feel the, what is the word from shifting from one thing to another? Like it will feel like pulsing and then I can feel it solidify like almost a rock. And then mm-hmm. I can feel that rock feeling move from one energy line into another. They also have in ancient, which has been scientifically proven as well. There are Easternized scientific branches, not just Westernized beliefs. That's only scientifically proven. There are where our body has what they're called nadis, which are, they're like connecting points between all of the energy lines in your body. So every now and again, sometimes if you move your shoulder and you feel this weird pop in a tendon or something, that is one of the nadi points in your body that's releasing energy that's kind of been trapped in that spot. So
I would love
Reiki things. I can feel the misfirings in my body, all these weird popping sounds from the energy points.
Sasha, I would love to hear you talk about these nadi points with a physician because I'm wondering if there isn't an actual physical, physiological explanation for the tension we feel. And I know there is, but you say it's been proven scientifically. Sasha, go ahead. Sorry.
I said Western medicine will call them nerve points, nerve endings. Eastern medicine will then call them like naughty meeting points. So it depends. I mean, I've literally gone to Westernized doctors who have no idea what I'm talking about because they have been only indoctrinated in Western teaching.
Indoctrinated is an interesting word to use when we're talking about evidence-based practice and evidence-based study.
Let me ask you really quick here. You said that a lot of things you're saying, it was proven, it was scientifically proven using Eastern scientific method. What is the Eastern scientific method and how does it differ from the Western, so-called Western
Eastern methods are scientifically proven as well.
Okay. So give me an example of what scientific experiment, what was the experimental design for proving one of these Eastern medical claims? What was it?
I mean, maybe you don't know. Documentation, since the word Reiki was actually founded in like 1920, that would be all of the documentation throughout time saying people have benefited from this practice compared to Westernized medicine.
Okay, so it's just reporting, self-reporting, saying that it was beneficial?
I would strongly encourage you to look at
the discovery of science.
I would strongly encourage you to look at the difference in methodologies and standards when it comes to studies being conducted by doctors versus what you will find in the realm of of Reiki.
I mean, I've had some amazing Westernized doctors, don't get me wrong, who do tap into Easternized practices. I had one emergency nurse where one time who told me she was training for the Olympics, slipped on ice, landed on a point in her tailbone, and she cracked her whole spine up and got stuck on Western medicine. Her pain was like 95%, and she gave up on Western medicine, switched completely to Easternized healing practices, and she says she's at a pain level of like 2%. And that was from a Westernized doctor in a emergency room kind of telling me like, hey, we're doing wrong.
Sasha, you're giving us anecdotal examples. What I'm asking is, what is the underlying method for proving that these so-called Eastern practices actually have an effect upon the body? And it sounds like when you say it's been proven, you're talking about it's ancient. People have reported that it works. You've known individuals who have reported that it works. But I'm saying, what's the mechanism? And I don't mean like, oh, there's energy flowing through the body. No. I need you to, we talked about this in the beginning. Can this energy, if it exists, Can it be measured? If it can't be measured, how do you know that it exists? Well, other than there's a, other than there's a tradition of that this energy exists in the body. Because quite honestly, tradition doesn't really count a whole lot for me. The proof is when it can be demonstrated. So it sounds like you went from a religious environment where spirits, whatever that means, energies that can't be measured, realms that can't be accessed in this life or exists in some sort of non-corporeal way. And you've stepped into another world where that stuff exists as well. But we don't believe that that realm, those non-physical energies, those non-measurable energies, these chakras, these things exist. Well, you have to prove that they exist. Do I believe?
Have you experienced that? Have you tried acupuncture? Have you experienced? Because I believe, however, you would measure the effectiveness of acupuncture. Well, measure the effectiveness of Reiki.
Let me give you an example that's not acupuncture. But I years ago went to a chiropractor. I had back pain, and I went to a chiropractor, and this guy popped my back and talked about sublimations, and I felt fucking great afterwards. And it wasn't until much later that I found out that chiropractic is bullshit. It is not evidence-based. It's not medicine. Sublimations don't exist. It's a racket, chiropractic. And my subjective experience of going to a chiropractor and feeling better afterward was a barrier to me acquiring actual knowledge. My subjective experience was one thing, and what's real was something separate from that. And so I want to put that on the table.
But in my experience,
I know we're running out of time, so I just want to put one more thing on the table, real quick, Sasha, which is energy. Okay, and I've been thinking about this over here because I have talked to people who will tell me about psychic energy and about ghost energy and about Reiki energy, and energy tends to be this catch-all word that people use. And in my experience, outside of a scientific context, within like the confines of physics or talking about energy in systems, it's a woo-woo kind of bullshitty term that people use to mean lots of different things. So I would encourage anybody watching and listening, when you hear energy and people talking about energy without being very, very specific and clear about what they're talking about, your bullshit detector should be going off. The red flags should be flying. So that's just one thing.
Sasha, we have to move on. I think that we would have additional fantastic conversations with you going forward. I do encourage you to go ahead and dig up those scientific studies that we just talked about in the beginning and proving that Reiki and different kinds of stuff is real. Share it with us at the show. You can share it at, you know what? There's going to be information about that later, but there's an email address where you can share that information to us. Hey, I tell you what, send it to tv@atheist-community.org. Heathens@atheist-community.org. Either one, send that information, read it, send it to us. We'll take a look at it. We love getting emails and such from our viewers, but you know what? Don't let this be the last time we talk. I do want to know more. You've said a lot, but we just have to move on. So we're going to move on. But before we move on, I want to say a few things. Let me just say this. Make sure after this show, you check out the newest episode of the Atheist Community of Austin's flagship show, Nonprofits. I have a personal favorite of mine. It airs at 3 p.m. Central Time today. You can see it at tiny.cc/YTNP. This week in brief, Secularity, Richard, Cynthia, and Scott Dickey will be talking about the Great Replacement Theory, the scumbags like Little Lord Flounderboy, the fish stick prince who is trying to scare up ratings with it, and the weaklings who are killing people over it. We're going to be talking about the Oklahoma abortion ban and a study following folks who received abortions and those who were denied them. The results may shock you, Gohan. And I want you to listen very, very carefully right now, because anything worth doing is worth doing very, very carefully. The ACA wants you to know what is going on in the atheist community of Austin. And for that, and to that point, the ACA now has an updated website. You may head to www.atheist-community.org. O-R-G. That's where you can learn about the organization itself, its policies, and how you can get involved. There is a new tab there. It's called the News tab. And that's where you're going to learn about all of the work we're doing to update the building, our involvement with other groups outside and inside the greater Austin area, and all of our upcoming events. But wait, there's more. The ACA wants to hear from you. Yes, you, friend. We want to know what you liked about this show and all the other shows on the Atheist Experience Network. We want to know what you thought was effective. We want to know what you thought was not effective, what we could do better. We want to hear about your questions about the show, the topics generally, and what the organization is all about. We want to hear what's on your mind. So email us at tv@atheist-community.org. Did you hear me? That's tv@atheist-community.org. And one more time for the folks in the back, tv@atheist-community.org. Now, no one can say they don't know how to get a hold of the ACA. But you know what? We got a lot of shows here on the Atheist Experience. Not just Talk Heathen, not just the flagship, the nonprofits. We've got Secular Sexuality. We've got Truth Wanted. And if you didn't catch those other shows, well, here's a taste of the things that you might want to go back and watch.
If I have a mindful, healthy relationship, that means we don't bring in our own shame or issues or react disproportionately. It's like, oh no, you still get to be two humans colliding together, which is a shit show, and hopefully it goes as well as possible.
I mean, if I had to pick one, I'd probably take that Roman wine god, Bacchus, I think his name is.
Oh, that's new to me, but yeah, that sounds pretty good.
He'd be a cool deity, man. Those Romans had some gods that knew how to party.
I wouldn't be comfortable with any religious institution doing, you know? Let's take the opportunity to just talk more about, I don't know, math or reading. I mean, we could
use science.
It seems like that's what you believe, Frank, or whoever your name is.
My name is not Frank. We'll call me. I'll be Frank. Let me be Frank. Okay, I'll be Frank. Let me be Frank with you. Okay, Patrick.
Just listening to you guys has brought me up, and I needed that.
Good. Go give that man a good squeeze on the hand. Let him know that none of us here are praying for him. All of us can't wait until he walks out of the hospital to tell his story.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to go right into our next call. This is Mark, he, him from Mississippi. And Mark wants to talk about why he is still a Christian, even though he doesn't believe in the Bible. Mark, you are on the line with Kenneth and Johnny. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Hey, yeah, it's great to be on. I've had a long journey. I mean, I grew up very conservative Christian, Church of Christ, and believed in the 6,000-year earth. And I went to the University of Chicago, where they have, they have some really big names in evolution teaching there. And I took classes there and took a lot of stuff and came to realize that there's no way the earth could be 6,000 years old, which really disturbed my belief. But I continued to believe in God. But for a long time, I didn't go to church because I had some doubts. And things just changed in my life, and I went back to church, and I realized that the scripture's not inerrant, but I still believe in God because of other evidence. But I feel actually very free in my expression of worship because I don't feel obligated to hate certain people like the LGBT community or other people. I don't feel anger when people don't believe because I understand your point and why you may not have faith.
Okay. Well, that's certainly a good start. You don't hate LGBTQ people and you don't have a problem with people that don't believe because you can understand. So why are you still a Christian?
That is an excellent question. And part of it is if you come in and you're trying to create reasonable doubt, like in a legal case when somebody's innocent until proven guilty. I think you've done that. What I'm looking for is not reasonable doubt. I'm looking for a reasonable cause to have faith. Some of this comes from my indoctrination. And I think what's happened as I've gone through this pathway is things are introduced scientifically that conflict with the Bible. I always go with science. And I think that a lot of people have that journey, especially when Darwin wrote his book, The Origin of Species. I think there were a lot of people who were theists who eventually dropped religion because they had evidence. And I've had evidence that shows that the biblical timeline is not real, that the flood didn't happen, that creation could not have happened in 6 days. But I still can believe in God because I believe, for example, I don't believe in abiogenesis. I believe that DNA is a code and that it cannot arise without intelligence. So I believe in a creator from that standpoint. I don't believe it should be taught in schools, but I don't believe there's science to support it. So, but I carry on with my belief.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You're a Christian, but you don't believe in the Bible. A Christian believes that, at least my understanding is that a Christian believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the God made flesh and come down to earth and save us from our sins that we have because of, you know, Adam and Eve, and they keep doing nasty things to each other. And without salvation from Christ, we don't go to heaven. We don't have eternal life. So if you don't believe the Bible is true, do you believe those other things?
Well, that is an excellent question. I believe that the Bible is not a book. I took a class on the Old Testament that I audited online at Yale University, taught by Professor Christine Hayes, and she said the Bible is not a book. It is an anthology. It is a collection of writings. Some of the writings are more believed than others. For example, the epistles of Paul, I think there's like seven of them are considered the genuine epistles of Paul, and a lot of them are considered forgery. So what I do is I go with what the scholars tell us about that. I read a lot of Bart Ehrman, and I go with what he says about a lot of those subjects, and I feel like I'm able to ascertain something that's believable. I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and ultimately, well, I don't think I can prove it to you in the court of law. I don't think Christianity would have happened if Jesus didn't rise from the grave.
Well, Johnny and I aren't the kind of people. Johnny and I aren't the kind of people you'd find hanging out in courts of law. But
no.
So when we're talking about evidentiary standards and reasons to believe things, you know, we don't have to talk about courts. We can just, you know, have a conversation. Johnny tried to get this idea out. I'm going to try a just slightly different way. Would you mind just in like a sentence or two telling me what you mean when you say Christian? Like, what does it mean for someone to be a Christian?
What I think it means for someone to be a Christian is to believe that Jesus rose from the grave, that he is the Son of God. That's the confession that Christians make.
Why would Jesus raising from a grave be relevant to humanity?
Well, I believe it's very relevant to Christian faith because Paul says if you don't believe that he was raised from the grave, then your faith is in vain. So
No. I mean, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of the whole crucifixion and resurrection narrative thing? Why did that need to happen from your perspective?
Well, because it was an extraordinary event, and it's. I mean, it's just not an everyday thing. And that, to me,
let me try asking a slightly different way. What did Jesus die for? Why did Jesus die?
Well, according to theology, he died for the forgiveness of our sins.
That's what I was looking for. Okay. So I wanted to touch on a couple of things with you because this is fascinating to me. So you said earlier that you've studied evolution, you've got some familiarity with science, and you reject the 6,000-year age of the earth thing. Do you reject the idea found in Genesis that like Adam and Eve sinning caused sin to enter the world and our species therefore necessitating Jesus' sacrifice?
I don't know about all that. I think I don't think Adam and Eve...
Well, it matters, right? Because if Jesus is supposed to be dying for our sins, and there's this story in the Bible about how sin came into the world, I'm wondering if you reject that, like you would reject the other bullshit in Genesis.
I don't know. I'd have to think on that. I don't believe in original sin, so I don't think there's original sin.
Mark, that's a great...
That's probably the most direct answer we've gotten to a question all day.
Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for and that's the truth. You don't have to decide right here on the line with us in front of trillions of people. Cause you know, look at the live chat. There's a lot of people watching, but think about it. There's nothing wrong with saying that's a good question. I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah.
But in truth, if original sin isn't a thing, or if there's no good reason to believe that original sin, is a thing, then what did Jesus die for? Yeah. And it may still be an extraordinary event if you were to give that he died and then came back to life somehow. But what's the whole point of that? Why did he have to die?
That's a good question.
And also, let me ask you this, Mark. Let me ask you, how does his dying do anything for me, right? It's been said, he died for my sin. Cool. Why? Yeah. He painted my house for my sins. What does that even mean? Like, I don't understand why death is necessary. Now, you can look at it in terms of a blood sacrifice, but I don't recognize that blood sacrifices do anything except kill animals. I mean, I don't see that it does anything. It doesn't appease. Does it appease a bloodthirsty God who must see blood and then, all right, fine. You killed some for him. Cool. You get a pass there. Does that make any sense to you? And if not, what
Absolutely.
Does?
Absolutely. I understand exactly what you're saying. It's something I will think about.
Yeah.
Think
about it.
I mean, the theology is that, you know, man's sin started with Adam and Eve, and the price of sin is blood, and sacrifice of blood and goats is nothing for forgiveness of sin.
Yeah.
And that Jesus had to be the perfect sacrifice.
Human blood is different, though. Well, human blood has midichlorians in it or something.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. If there's no, like, I mean, because the whole thing in the narrative structure of Christianity is that there's this theme. If you read, like, Romans does a great job of really spelling it out. There's this idea that humanity is, like, saturated with sin and there's nothing that we can do to help ourselves. So the whole idea of Jesus having to come and sacrifice himself and all this stuff is predicated on this idea of sin being a thing. So that's where I was wondering what your take was on that. Because if sin is just, like, some, you know, sort of bogus concept, then it would make sense for Jesus to have to come die. But maybe we can get into the reasons why, like, if you think that there was an actual death and resurrection of Jesus, maybe we could talk about why you believe that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear.
Well, I believe in the phenomenon of Christianity. Here's an itinerant rabbi who nobody knew about in a country that was virtually wiped out, and something happened. He died, I believe, in front of his disciples, and then they talked to him. He rose from the grave. I think if that's
okay, why do you bring
that? I'll scatter them.
That's on the table now. So maybe why do you believe that stuff? First of all, why do you believe he died in front of his disciples?
Because the writings of Paul say he met his disciples Peter, and he met his own brother James. And so he had it was a good secondhand account that I happen to believe. And reading the book by Bart Ehrman about that Jesus really exists, he talks about the fact that it was known that he was crucified. So I think if he doesn't come back, if he doesn't interact with his disciples,
I'm asking you after. Sorry, I hate that I keep stepping on your toes because I appreciate that you're being thoughtful with your responses. But what I was asking was, you said he died in front of his disciples. And I'm asking you why you believe that. Why do you, like, if what I'm understanding is that you think his disciples were present at his crucifixion, I'm wondering why you believe that. Because I've read the Gospels and
based on the accounts that are there, Peter was there, Mary was there. I mean, it's described. And while I do have doubts about the Gospels, I do believe that part of it. I don't believe every single thing that's in there, but I do believe
that. How do you pick and choose which things to believe and which things not to believe?
Yeah, what's your measuring stick? How do you decide what is, like, exactly what Kenneth said, what is believable and what is not? What's the distinction?
Well, I defer to what the scholars tell me. I've read a lot of Bart Ehrman. Has been my favorite scholar. I've read a lot of his books, and I tend to defer to what the scholars say.
Okay. My understanding is that there's no independent extra biblical evidence that most of the things in the Bible happened. I mean, we know that there may be some evidence that there was telling of a person named Jesus may have been crucified, perhaps, but a person named Jesus is not the same as, and an itinerant preacher named Jesus is not the same as a person who could turn water into wine,
right?
Who can walk on water, who can heal the sick, bring the dead back to life, and can himself die and then return and then fly up to heaven. It's very different. Very different facts.
The distinction between an historical Jesus and a biblical Jesus is as meaningful as, look, if we go 2,000 years in the future, I guarantee we could find good evidence that there was a guy named Steve Rogers who served in World War II in the army. But whether or not that means that the stories about Captain America are to be believed is a whole separate question, right? Yeah. So when we find things like, you know, Bart Ehrman will talk about how there are good reasons to think that a guy named Jesus was crucified by Pilate, that there were a group of people who believed a set of claims about Jesus shortly, that can be, there's evidence of that shortly after his alleged, you know, death in this timeline. The resurrection is a whole other question, though. You know, things like walking on water and raising the dead and healing the sick, these are whole separate issues, right?
Yeah. I don't necessarily believe everything that's in there about the walking on water, because the big thing is when it comes to the New Testament, they're just sources, they're just writings, and they were collated by human beings. They weren't put together by God. That's one thing I learned in my college, is that mankind picked those verses out. And so I have to kind of tease out the information and decide what's BS and what's actually dependable. And,
Mark, how long have you been on this journey? Like, because it sounds like you're finding holes. I wish I hadn't said that. But
that's Thursday.
It's Thursday. Secular Sexuality. Tune in, friends. But it sounds like you are on a journey of picking apart the Bible and your faith. And we're getting a snapshot of you right now, where you believe that God exists as a sort of a first cause or the source of life, and you're recognizing that a lot of the claims in the Bible don't make sense based upon the tool that has gotten us the farthest out of flinging shit at each other in trees, which is the scientific method of understanding the world we live in, right? And that's how I understand science, isn't that it? Something about shit and trees. But we're supposed to look at them. I know we're supposed to look at them. But it sounds like you're doing that. You don't believe in Adam and Eve. You all this other stuff. But then you're sort of still you're in this. You're a transitional fossil, it sounds like. We all are transitional fossils, Mark. But you're in this state in between belief and not belief. And I'm wondering, how long have you been on this journey? When did you start doubting?
Well, I'm 58 years now. I graduated from University of Chicago when I was 22. So, and for 20 years, I rejected religion, did not go to church, and I kind of came back to it. And I believe, I do a lot of research. I think about this all the time. I listen to you guys I used to listen when I was in office in 2019 every day, and then I lost my office job and I was on my feet all the time and couldn't listen. Now I'm back in an office, so I'm catching up on all your back. The only thing I listen to, I don't listen to apologists. I listen to various skeptics, and I listen to you guys every day. I listen to four or five back shows a day, and because I'm on a journey. I'm looking for truth like you guys are. I identify more with you than I do with Christian.
I love it. You know, Mark, here's a thought. Here's an idea. I know you're on your feet all day. I listen when I'm working out, when I'm walking the dog. I listen to it. You don't need to see the faces. You know, probably better looking in your imagination.
Right. If I put you guys on and I go on to another page and do my work, now I'm at it.
There you go. Try sometime, Mark. Oh, and we love that you enjoy the show. Try this. Take an argument, maybe from one of our previous callers, maybe not Ernie. That might take too much time, but maybe with our Reiki caller. That was a good conversation, but there was a lot of claims going on. Maybe take it right down the premises. Maybe take right down the argument. Try to sort it through. There's a huge backlog of ACA, of Atheist Experience Network show. Great argument. They're in clip form. Yeah. You can find them on YouTube. And maybe go through the argument and maybe evidence of original sin. Try to write it out yourself. Try to steel man the arguments that the theists are bringing to us. And see if you can find a better way to argue for it. And that might help you on your journey one way or the other, right? But that does require you to sit down.
With you guys. Yeah. I tend to side with you guys with the cult, and that's the problem. And I have to ask myself, why am I still here? Because I do agree with most points. I don't disagree with facts like that. I'm trying to be honest. And a lot of people when I post on Facebook, on various sites, they'll tag me as somebody who's going to be coming. I understand that because I'm trying to come about to honest.
I think that you are on, like you said, like we've been saying, we're all on a journey. And you're on this journey with us, and you might end up in a different location, but there's no help. They don't feel a pressure. None of us here at the Atheist Experience Network want people to deconvert for the wrong reasons, because then you could have you can go back out of remission. You can have a relapse into faith. We hear this all the time. I used to be an atheist, and now I believe in Thor or something because of reasons. If your reasons are sound, I want to hear them, you know, for believing. And it sounds like you're questioning all those things, and I want you to continue to do so. Take your time with it. There's no rush. It's your life. And there's some sweetness to be had in mulling over these arguments.
And when you're listening to, like, you know, shows that we have on the network here, different hosts, how they have different strategies and ways of engaging with callers, the big overarching thing that I would recommend you pay close attention to is just methodology, both from the callers and the hosts. What tools do we have in our toolboxes, and what tools are we using to arrive at our conclusions? I would argue that our conclusions are often only as good as the tools that we have to get there. So, you know, the more time that you can spend, and this is me speaking from a place where I have found great value in trying to learn as much as I can about things like fallacies and biases and various cognitive traps so that I don't step in them. Because that's the whole key, right? Was it Richard Feynman said the thing about, you know, the first principle is don't fool yourself, and you have to remember that you are the easiest person to fool, right? So the more that you can focus on methods and critical thinking skills and just arming yourself so that when inevitably some, you know, spurious claim rears its ugly head, you're able to spot it for what it is. That is the project that I think we're all sort of trying to engage in over here, is just, you know, we care about having true beliefs. We want to believe true things. And we don't want to be fooled and taken in by bullshit. So, that's where, if I were you, I would spend the bulk of my time, is just sort of getting your black belt in critical thinking, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. The one thing I like about your community is, since I do have doubts, I can't go into church and openly talk about them. I can talk about them openly here with you guys. So I love your community. I love what you guys are doing. And I'll continue to listen, and I'll probably call back in the future.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go out of order here, and the crew's going to hate me, but I'm feeling a wellspring of love rings coming out of me right now. And there we go. It just came out of my ear, I guess, or space. Mark, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for calling in. Call back with more questions and think about that, the origin of original sin, the nature of sin, and all that stuff. And we'd love to hear from you again. All right.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. You take care. You know what? We have got ourselves some fantastic patrons.
Yeah, we do.
And I'd love for Kenneth to go ahead and read those five patrons.
The top five, in no particular order with respect to how much we love them, would go Eric Tweet, Dingleberry Jackson, Balaam's Donkey, Ayame, Dan Conger, and an honorable mention to Patrick Olivieri. I probably fucked up your name, so I'm sorry, but that doesn't mean we love you any less. We appreciate you very, very much. And I've been talking about Balaam's Donkey, not the patron, but the story, with people all week long as an example of something in the Bible, when they will say, like, the Bible's perfect, everything in the Bible's true. It's like, even the story about the donkey seeing the angel and then talking to the guy who's hitting it. Yeah, even that, I'll say.
It's all true. Even the part about the super soldier serum is true. All of it.
Yeah. Lesser known.
The force.
Corner
everything.
Of yeah the Vulcan all right. Pinch all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to call upon Drew in Washington. I summon you, Drew. I summon you before us, Drew. Him from Washington. Drew wants advice on how to respond to a friend who gets mad when they discuss religion. Tell us about this friend, Drew. You're on the Talk Heathen YouTube program with Kenneth Leonard and Johnny P. Angel.
Hi. So, like, not too long ago, because I'm almost out of school, right? Like, this was, like, before COVID hit, I'm pretty sure. I was in art class with my Christian friend, and, like, he's not, like, one of those overly Christian ones. He's, like, bisexual and stuff, right? Anyway, so I was sitting there, and he said that God was real and all this stuff, and I simply said God isn't real, and he's like, oh, my God, you can't say that. That's offensive. I was like, I'm not telling you that you can't believe it. And I feel like it's kind of not fair that they get it, like, say all the time, like, oh, yeah, God's real, and it doesn't offend anyone. But the moment I say God isn't real, it's suddenly offensive as hell, and I don't even know how to respond to it. So, like, how do I? Also, I have, like, another question afterwards, because I, like, thought of one as you guys were talking.
Yeah, we do that a lot. You know what I do? I don't say that God isn't real, although I'm totally thinking it. Whenever I get that, I usually think, I mean, you know, okay, you know, folks out there who are afraid to call in, as in the theists who are nasties. I don't think God's real. I'm pretty fairly sure that God isn't real, but I can't prove it. I just don't believe that God exists. I'm certain that I don't believe that God exists. And that's what I say. I say, well, you know, I don't believe that God exists. Do you have some evidence? I'd love to hear that evidence. because I'm living in this world with you and you're convinced. So what have you seen that I haven't? What arguments have you heard that I haven't? And if you tell me to look at the trees and if you tell me that there's prophecies, it's probably not going to cut it, but give it to me anyway. It's a softer position, and it'll produce a conversation rather than a confrontation. That's my advice, Kenneth.
My advice would be everything here is like situational, depending on what your goals are. If your goal is to just maintain a friendship with this person and not rock the boat, then maybe just don't talk about religion with them. If your goal is to try to have thought-provoking, meaningful discussions, then there's a lot of different ways that could go, but you got to be aware. Some people don't want to have thought-provoking, meaningful discussions. They just want to believe the stuff that they believe and talk about it and not have any pushback whatsoever. And that's what they want. And when you run up against that, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to have thought-provoking, meaningful conversations with those folks. It, like the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it think. Goes something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So if your friend's just like, I want to talk about my God and my Jesus and my whatever, and I don't give a fuck what you think, then your hands are pretty tied and you might just need to get new friends or bite your tongue.
Yeah, I've talked a lot, and I always talk about how I talk a lot about my friend who's a young earth creationist, gun-toting, very conservative dude, ex-Marine, good friend of mine. We don't agree on anything, but we agree on everything. It's just we get bogged up in the things that we agree on. And then when we start skirting around the whole religion and mythology and hocus pocus subject, we like bump heads and then laugh about it and then go off on our own way. If your friend really wants to have the conversation, engage, be very aware that desire may be ephemeral. Like, oh, I want to talk about it. Oh, I just got pushed back a little bit. Be
what's
aware.
Ephemeral mean?
Ephemeral is here for a short time, non-permanent.
Okay.
Wisp, will of the wisp. I should have a
say words. I could, that makes sense.
Well, I should look it up if I can't define it. But yeah, just in passing, it's a passing whim that your friend might want to talk about it because they might be afraid of being not being able to, much like I can't define ephemeral off the top of my head, be able to cite the reasons why the friend believes in, you know, Frigga or something, some Norse person. Is this person a Christian, by the way? Or is this person a Muslim or Odinist?
Christian?
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. They might just believe because they believe. And when you talk about it, it might affect them on an emotional level that they feel personally hurt by you questioning something that's so close to them. So be aware of that. Is this person toxic to the community around them because of their Christianity, I ask you?
Not really. But then again, I don't really open up about my atheism at school. Like, I do occasionally. Yeah. Most people are just pretty chill about it. Like, one of my Christian friends, she's also bisexual. I talked to her and I was like, oh, I feel like it's kind of weird whenever you, like, start doing this kind of preaching thing. That's just like, oh, yeah, he and this, all that stuff, you know, when talking about Jesus or God or whatever and the love of the Lord or whatever. And and it's like feels kind of overwhelming and weird to me. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. She like, it depends on who you're talking to. And most people are just pretty chill about it in general. So it's not like he was necessarily toxic to the rest of the community because of that. But there are instances where it does become toxic because of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And that can happen. And so I guess you have to decide, are you the right person to have that conversation? Do you want to associate with this person if they are toxic? And what is your definition of toxic? A person can just have a belief set. And some people are very offended by the very notion of religion because they have their own religious baggage that they grew up with. Are they dehumanizing other people? Is this person dehumanizing others that you socialize with or others generally?
Kind of, but not really, like, because I'm like trans. A couple times he did just call me like a tranny or he, she or something.
Oh, that's pretty fucking toxic.
That's pretty toxic, yeah.
He wasn't necessarily doing it to be toxic. Rude, I don't think, but it wasn't very nice of him.
No, I would go so far as to say that's pretty awful. I don't know if that's a radical position these days amongst thoughtful folks, but this is a friend of yours or an associate?
When people start dropping super offensive slurs in conversation, it's very charitable of you to be like, I don't think they meant to be, you know, offensive or whatever, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, you don't have to hang out with this person. I'm going to give you permission that you need mine. But is this a friend, though, or is this just somebody in your circle of friends? Well, I got nothing on this end. So, you know, Kenneth, let's just finish that thought up. We are under no obligation to associate with people who use terrible slurs, right?
Yeah, no. No. I one thing that came to mind was if having better, more productive one-on-one conversations with people about what they believe is something you're interested in, I have benefited tremendously from Anthony Magnabosco's work on this in this area. So the whole street epistemology approach, just asking lots of questions and learning how to do that more effectively might be something you check out, Drew. The instant someone calls you a tranny, you might want to just say fuck them and not talk to him anymore. But that's just me. I don't know.
Fuck off. You want to know, folks out there in the audience, we're here in this environment, right? With my hand. We're in this environment where we are talking with people in a very safe environment.
In the vacuum of space.
In the vacuum of space. We don't ask how we can communicate with each other. It's through bone induction, all right? And
you'll record.
We are under no obligation to go out in the real life, and you aren't either, to have conversations with people that use terrible slurs like that. Because here's the thing. If a person is brazen, if I may use the word brazen, to call you a slur like that, how far away are they from not just using words, but then using physical action? This person probably votes against your interests. This person probably supports movements that would in other ways dehumanize you. And I frankly don't feel you've got to get into a tussle with them because you see people on YouTube or other places having these conversations. This is a very different. So with all that said, if you do feel safe and this person has shown themselves to be a misguided associate or friend, tread carefully. But don't put up with anybody's shit.
Yeah.
You don't owe them an explanation for who you are. You don't have to define yourself to a degree that they will accept you. They can just fuck off. That is an option in your life. They can fuck off and never come back. Where are we, Kenneth? Do you think we should take another call? Or are we at the end of our show?
I'm up for one more if you're up for one more. I mean, again, I'm your wingman, so...
I'm going to go with this person, Alora, coming out of Oregon. Again, witches on TikTok are giving bad advice to induce labor for an abortion. That's scary. Alora, you're with Kenneth and Johnny on Talk Heathen. What advice are they giving?
The hell's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember a couple weeks ago, I was scrolling TikTok, and first, I think it's probably because I'm in the queer community, I see a lot of witch talk. A lot of queer people are into witch stuff and astrology. And I had seen a video of a woman who identified as a witch giving advice on what kind of herbs you could use to induce an abortion in the face of Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
And she was talking, I can't remember the specific herb, but talking about, you know, inserting it in yourself and leaving it in, and that would help induce an abortion. And I saw it and I was like, well, this is clearly not great sound medical advice, but witch talk is very vicious on TikTok. So I didn't want to get into it. So I just kind of scrolled past. And then a few days later, heard of at least three people that had taken that advice. Two of them ended up dying. One of them ended up in the hospital. Jesus
Christ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Laura, are you yourself? Are you yourself a witch? Do you consider yourself a witch?
No, absolutely not.
All right,
I think that makes three of us, right? Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So yeah. I guess I'm just wondering, you know, I feel bad for not having said anything on the original video. I feel like maybe I should have said something, but that's not something I can change. So now I'm just kind of wondering, how can I, you know, it's like I'm trans, but I am a person that has a uterus. I want to protect other people that have uteruses in the face of this kind of information. I know people are getting desperate with the Roe v. Wade stuff.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just kind of wondering how I can sort of combat that when there's so much misinformation going on about how to induce abortions and, you know, different ways that you can do that without, you know, if you don't have medical care around you. Like, it's just very scary. I didn't think we would be seeing people die so immediately. I mean, I know people are currently dying, especially people of color, but I didn't think we would be seeing this kind of stuff so soon. soon, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Elora, you're right. It is scary. We've gotten so many calls in this show about why abortion is some philosophical debate subject, but it always, for me, it always comes down to the practical reality that people will engage in dangerous behavior out of desperation in order to terminate a pregnancy. What can you do? Golly, I'm not a doctor of medicine, and neither is Kenneth this week.
I'm not either.
I guess if you're engaging in TikTok, you might find, certainly you shouldn't be giving medical advice, but that's something you can say. You can say, unless you're a doctor, you should not be giving medical advice. If there's a particular herb, you might find links to the use and misuse of these herbs and try to attach a link to that. Kenneth, you're a TikToker.
I spend hours and hours on TikTok because I'm a responsible, functional adult.
He's an adult.
Here's where my brain went. I see 99% of my feed when I'm looking at like live feeds, especially, is religious stuff. I see all kinds of stuff about people having conversations about abortion. And I mean, the odds of you finding two people having a conversation, making sense, having like a nuanced, intelligent discussion about an issue like abortion on TikTok is like, it's like non-existent. But what you will find on that platform, and on this platform of YouTube, are people who are professional educators in the spaces of science and medicine. Mm-hmm. So there are people who that is what they do, is they want to hear people making these kinds of claims so that they can create stitches with them or make response videos and address this stuff. And one of the benefits of a platform like TikTok is you can tag the original content creator in what your response is so that their audience can be more likely to see the response. So there are people like one of our friend of the show, Forrest Valkai, is a science educator and talks to people who make bogus science claims. I know people who do that, and they engage with people who are flat earthers. I'm not sure if Student Dr. Ben is doing the TikTok thing, but Student Dr. Ben hosts a whole show about medical misinformation and talks about that kind of stuff. So I would say it's not your responsibility to correct every harmful, bullshit, dangerous, stupid idea that you find on TikTok. And you shouldn't feel any kind of guilt or anything like that for not jumping in here, because like you said, you may have just invited a bunch of harassment your way. But yeah, there are people who are willing and eager to do just that. So I would say, look for doctors on TikTok who address this kind of shit, tag them, be like, DM them. And incidentally, anybody watching, if you come across wild religious videos, DM me, send them my way, because that's what I do. So the whole thing would be, find someone who can effectively engage with these things, who is an authority and an expert.
Yeah, DM. Yeah. Oh, I said the word. Talk Heathen.
Yeah.
The Talk Heathen TikTok place. Don't forget MD Aware.
MD Aware, for sure. Yeah, and Forrest, quite incidentally, is going to be on Atheist Experience after the flagship show, The Nonprofits. So
the flagship's going to set sail, and then you can watch AXP.
And Forrest is awesome.
Yeah, Forrest is great. But if not you trying to do that work, I mean, don't try to give medical advice, obviously, but feed information to professionals, right? Try to assist those people who are doing that work. It's a shame that people are resorting again. I see that those witches, their hearts are in the right place, their compassion is in the right place, but they're just, that's careless. And I would say this is the effect that magical thinking has upon the human mind, because the reason why these terrible laws are getting passed, these restrictions are getting passed, is because of magical thinking. And now we're fighting magical thinking with magical thinking. Let's not do that. Let's fight it with reason and compassion and science. Okay. And somebody in the chat, I just want to say this really quickly while I got you on the phone still, said, wait, isn't abortion still legal in this country? Yes, it is in many places. But the reality of it is, it's not available or practical or affordable for many, 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 many people.
Yeah.
It may be the law of the land as we speak right now, but the practical aspect of it is you may have to travel hundreds of miles to actually get one. And if you don't have the dough to do that, it's as good as illegal, right? And so what are you going to do? Your life, your future is at stake, and people get desperate and they don't have all the information available to them. So they turn fucking witches on TikTok to try to solve that problem.
Like, as that's coming out of your mouth, I know you're feeling it as much as I'm feeling it, just the sadness of that. And there are people who are trying their very hardest, motivated by magical thinking and faith-based nonsense, to make abortions more difficult to get every day. So yeah, the desperation of turning to the TikTok, which is a sad thing indeed. But yeah, a conversation I have with people on like a near daily basis now is about why it's a problem to believe stuff on faith or to believe stuff without evidence. And I mean, this is it. This is going to be my end of show 2 minute rant. There's a normalization in our culture of people just believing bullshit, believing stuff for which there's no evidence. And the more that people just act like this is a normal and acceptable thing to do, the more it just sort of keeps happening. So from people who have legitimate, you know, medical concerns, they need to go see a doctor, but they go see someone to get Reiki. That's a problem. People who are desperate and in need of medical care, so they turn to witches on TikTok. That's a problem. I've got a whole book right here that's just like hundreds of pages. It's called When Prayer Fails, of people who are praying for their kids and the kids just fucking die because they didn't get to go see a doctor. That's a problem. And it persists. So please, people, please, 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 practice critical thinking and listen to experts who know what they're talking about, because our beliefs are consequential. They inform our actions, and our actions have consequences.
Thank you so much, Alora. I'll let you go. That's it for the show. Good final thought. I want to say, reiterate the ways you can support this program and the Atheist Community of Austin. Below the chat, there's a fundraiser. Again, all that money goes to the ACA and the work that we're doing there. Check out the website. Check out the email that I shared earlier in the show. Please like this video and subscribe to the channel. Become a member. Click join. Support us on Patreon, tiny.cc/Patreon, TH. Check out the podcast at tiny.cc/AEN podcasts. There it is. Thank you so much. Become a part of our community at tiny.cc/FBTHG. We're not going to be in Discord after the show today. We've got some stuff we got to take care of, but there is a fan-run Discord server. We're oftentimes there. A lot of the hosts will pop in and out of that fan-run Discord server to have a chat. Check out the nonprofits, or I'm going to cry. Bitter tears. So many tears. I'll get tired of crying. Airs at 3 p.m. Central today. Let's go to the crew cam. Let's show this crew. There they are.
There we go.
We got people waving. We got kitty cats. Hearts. We got thoughts and prayers going on here.
Tots
and pears, part of a balanced diet. Look, we want to set out love rings to all the folks who are doing God's work. Whatever, you know, love rings out to the people who are out there trying to educate people, trying to warn people about the dangerous information out there. All the activists that are out there trying to fight the restriction of human rights that are going on right now in this country. All right. It's not over yet. Don't give up. We're still in the fight. It's not game over. It's just the end of a couple of rounds. So look, keep up the good work. Essential workers, let's keep on supporting them, and let's all keep on staying safe, because I hear that numbers are on the rise for COVID. Look, whether or not you believe, we want to let you know that this is your community. Come on here and have conversations with us. If you don't believe, you know, come in and share your stories, because we want to know how you're dealing with a world full of believers and Reiki and all kinds of stuff. But if you do believe, I just want you know, we don't hate you.
We're just not convinced.
See you next time.
We want the truth, so watch Truth Wanted live Friday at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTW and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTW.